www.ccc.com.
Glad you are with us today for this particular week. I want to let you know that in our I Am God's Plan series, we have 3 weeks, including today. So today and 2 more weeks left after this. Next week, Otis Miller is going to be sharing a message about why we worship and what that's all about. So we can clap in advance for that. That's awesome. So you got to hear me twice, but you don't have to hear me at all next week. So that's bonus. No, really excited for Otis to be sharing. And then we're going to wrap this up Thanksgiving weekend, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, before we head into our Christmas series. Yay. Right. No, Christmas is coming, and the series is coming soon, and we're working on that, so you'll hear some more information on that. Now, before we get into our message this morning, I want to remind you some steps that we're taking, that we're kind of challenging ourselves with when it comes to sharing the gospel. We've been doing this for a couple of weeks as we talked about how we are ambassadors of Jesus and how we can be sharing the gospel. So we talked about 5 specific things: pray, connect, engage, speak, and invite. Pray that when it comes to sharing the gospel, we were challenged to be sure we're praying for those we know who are not followers of Jesus. Like, pick 3 to 5 people or more and just begin praying for them regularly. Pray for them every day. Then connect. That was the challenge from last week. The next step is to make a connection, make an effort to connect with people. Because if we're the hope of the gospel, if we're the ones who get to share the gospel of Jesus with people, then we have to be able to connect with them, or that'll never happen, right? So that was kind of our assignment for next week, for last week, this past week. Hopefully you were able to do that. If not, incomplete on the report card, right? No, incomplete on the report card. Something to keep working at, right? Try to figure out or see how you can build some connections with the people that you are praying for, right? I don't know how it's gone for you. I've heard a few things from some different people, but I know for me, it's been good. It's been challenging to a certain extent because, you know, sometimes there's other things that we have planned to do, things that we wanted to get done, things that we had on the docket, and then God kind of interrupts that, right, and disrupts that and says, but here's an opportunity, right? And yet that disruption, that, you know, interruption into my world is always like the most significant thing that I can be doing because God has opened that door. So I hope you're trying to connect with those in your life who don't know Jesus, even if it's inconvenient, even if it's disruptive or interrupting you, you know, to your calm, peaceful lives that we all have, right? But look, if it means we get to see people come to know Jesus, maybe for the first time, or to reconnect with him, or to draw closer to him in a significant way, then we need to be willing to let God mess things up in our life, right? That's what connecting is about. The next thing, and the thing we're focusing on for this week that I want to remind you of, is engage. And specifically, that's about engaging in spiritual conversations, right? So we're praying for people, we're hopefully connecting with them, and in the midst of that, we're looking to engage them in spiritual conversations. Maybe this happens automatically when you connect with them. Most of the time, it's not an automatic thing, right? We have to look for opportunities. It's important to build authentic relationships and make genuine connections with people, but we also need to find ways to engage them in spiritual conversation. So if you haven't been doing that, or if you haven't had that chance yet, this is kind of the next step. Now, that might take some emotional and conversational intelligence, right? Like, you have to press into spiritual conversations with at least a little bit of tact, right? Maybe it's even offering a few nuggets about your faith, right? What you're learning in your time with God, something you read in Scripture, something we talked about in church. And just offering a little bit of that, a little bit of yourself, just to sort of test the waters and to see where someone is at. Like, see what their receptivity is, right? Like, gauge their spiritual temperature a little bit. And then just see where it leads. See what door God opens. And I know that as you think about that, as I think about that, sometimes, you know, maybe, like, well, first of all, maybe it's easier even to ask a question, you know, and just rather, you know, trying to find out where someone is at. when it comes to spiritual things. Like, again, remember, like 90% of all people believe in God or a spiritual being of some kind. So maybe just ask them, hey, what do you believe about God? What do you think? Where are you at? And just really listen to what they have to say. Right? Anyway, engage. Like, that's the next step. Look for ways to engage the people you are praying for in spiritual conversations. And so we're just going to pause for a moment and pray that God would open those doors for us in the coming days, and then we'll jump into the meat of the message for this morning. Father God, you are a God who is extending hope and the offer of salvation, the hope of Jesus to everyone on this planet. You want all to come to know you. That's your desire. And while Jesus is the hope of the world for salvation, we are the ones, we're your plan for sharing that hope. And so God, in these conversations, in these relationships that we have in our life with those who don't know Jesus, we pray that you would open doors for spiritual conversations, that you give us wisdom, that you give us sensitivity, but that you give us courage as well to engage in spiritual conversations and ultimately, hopefully, to share the truth of the gospel with someone. And Lord, you know where each heart is at, and we just pray that you would use us in however you see fit to share that truth and to engage with others. And so open doors this week, we pray, even with those people on our list. And again, it's not about a list, but it's about your heart for people around us, and we want to step into that. So we pray for that this morning and trust you for the results. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so back to the series part. I am God's plan. Now, it can be intimidating to step into spiritual conversations, to share the gospel with someone, to take relational and conversational risks with people who don't know Jesus. It can stretch us to use our time, to use our talent, to offer our treasures to God for his purposes, like we talked about last week. And all this stuff that we're called to do individually can be pretty daunting, right? Like, it's usually way easier to just stay in that comfy chair and live life in cruise control. It's way less scary if we do that, but it's also way less good. And it's often way less of what God intends for us. But fortunately, none of us are meant to do this alone, right? Yes, I am God's plan, and you are God's plan, but I'm not like the only one, right? To quote the great high school musical, we're all in this together, right? We're all in this together. There is no I in team. Teamwork makes the dream work. What other things? There's strength in numbers. We're stronger together than we are alone, right? These are all kind of these sayings that we have, and yet it's true for us in our faith. There's an example, not a Christian story, but I read from a pastor this week, and he wrote this. He said, while visiting family in Alaska this past summer, I asked our cousins about the best places to go hiking. They told me some of the good places to go. Then I asked the most important question, what about the bears? And they said, well, attacks usually happen when people go by themselves. That's what happened to a woman last week. She was running along and got caught between a cub and a mama bear, and she was by herself, and it didn't go really well. And I said, we don't need to go hiking while we're here. And the person emphasized, look, we are safe, or at least safer, if we all go together. Like, we aren't created to do life alone either. We're not meant to be independent, autonomous, self-sufficient individuals. It's not how God wired us and created us. We are made to live in a humble, worshipful, loving dependence on God, but we're also meant to have a humble and loving interdependence on others. The majority of the letters written that make up the New Testament are not to individuals. Few are, but most letters are instructed to encourage a community of people who share faith in Jesus. The stories you read about in the Old Testament, they often do focus on individuals, but all of those people are part of the plan and the people of God. All those individuals are. There's a bigger picture of what's going on there. Like even at creation, God says to himself, let us make man and woman in our image. Right? God himself existed in communion with himself. Father, Son, Spirit, right? One indivisible God, three individual persons. There was community. And we were created in his image. We're meant to be in community or communion with one another. Like when God formed Adam, he said it wasn't good for him to be alone. So he made a companion for him. Now, obviously, God intended there also to be male and female, you know, so that human life could continue from beyond that point. But he designed us for a relationship. And we're meant to encourage and challenge one another in following him. So in God's kingdom and in the church, we're supposed to be in this together, like united as one in Christ. First passage for today, 1 Peter 3:8-9 says this, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Right? This is the kind of life that we're supposed to have so that we can live in unity together as followers of Jesus. We're spiritually all brothers and sisters with one another in Christ. Like we're family. Now it's the foolishness probably of sin that tells us that we have all we need in and of ourselves. We can make it on our own. We can do this alone. Like we live with the spirit, and it's kind of our culture, right? We live with the spirit of individualism. We live with the spirit of disconnectedness. Like we settle for relationships that never really go beneath casual a lot of times. We aren't fully known by others in our faith community even here, right? Like we don't rely on one another when we're struggling or in need sometimes. We just tough it out. We wear masks that cover up our pain or our disappointment or our struggles with sin. Like we often pretend everything's okay, even though it's not. We work ridiculously hard to convince people that things just aren't as bad as they are in my life. And guess what? Nothing changes. Right? Nothing changes. But we are supposed to be on mission together. We are supposed to impact our world with the truth and love of God and to lead them to Jesus and to help them grow in what it means to follow him. We're supposed to do that together. We are supposed to help build one another up in Christ. We're supposed to do this together as one. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says this, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Yeah, we're individually, we are members, but collectively, we are the body of Christ. We are one. We. Right? And so this morning, really, the focus is not so much on I am God's plan. The focus is we are God's plan. Right? We are God's plan. I want to just consider a couple of passages in Scripture that focus on the us. Focus on the we and what it means to be a part of a community of faith. Okay? So there's a couple of points that go along with that. The first point is this. As a community of faith, we can encourage one another or each other. As a community of faith, we can encourage each other. And look, we all need encouragement at times because following Jesus can be hard. Right? Hebrews 10:23-25 is this great passage. It says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Right? We can encourage one another. I think this passage highlights three specific things under that. And the first is this, when it says, let us hold fast to our faith, we can help one another keep holding on to truth, like to our faith. And that's pretty important. In a world that runs contrary to the heart of God, we need to cling to truth. Right? We need to cling to our faith. We can help each other do this. That's what a faith community, a church, is for. It also says to stir up one another to good works. Like, we can help one another keep doing good works. And really, ultimately, this whole series is kind of angling toward that, right? Trying to keep us grounded in Jesus, but to stay focused on our mission, on our goal, to help reach people with the hope of Jesus and see them grow in what it means to follow him. We can help each other in doing good works for Jesus. That's part of what a faith community is for. And then it says to encourage one another, right? Like, we can help each other keep pursuing Jesus. There's times where it's hard to stay on track, especially when life gets difficult, right? Especially when life gets hard. And it's interesting because Paul talks about the day here, the day of the Lord, right? Referring to a time of tribulation and judgment as like the end approaches. It will be more and more difficult to stay strong, to stay following Jesus as the world grows more and more dim. We don't know how soon that day is going to be, but whether we're approaching the day or just like having a day, we all need encouragement, don't we? Well, we can do that for each other. That's what a faith community is for. We can help one another keep holding the truth, doing good works, keep pursuing Jesus. As a community of faith, we can encourage one another. The second thing is, as a community of faith, we can strengthen one another. We can strengthen one another. One simple and very short verse that I love sums this up, and it makes a powerful statement about strengthening each other. It's Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Right? As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This word for sharp, it has a few different meanings. Sharp is like the predominant one, but it also means keen. Keep each other keen. And fierce. Keep each other fierce. We can help keep each other sharp, keen, and fierce when it comes to our faith. So as a community of faith, we can strengthen one another. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5 is a passage that has a ton of ways that we can do that. So I want to read through that one. Just as an encouragement, maybe you want to jot the reference down, but this is just some ways that we can strengthen one another as a faith community. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 22. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. Right? So many different ways that we can sharpen one another in our walk with Jesus. So as a community of faith, we can strengthen one another. Okay, the third thing is this: as a community of faith, we can correct and restore one another. As a community of faith, we can correct and restore one another. You know what? Just kind of bearing my soul a little bit, one of the difficult things about being a pastor is needing to sometimes have conversations with someone, telling them, well, in essence, it's like, hey, you're doing it wrong. Right? You are not in line with God's heart or God's will. You know, we all have struggles. And I'm certainly not a perfect person, so that's a struggle to do. Nobody ever wants to hear that, right? Nobody ever wants to hear, hey, you're out of line here. This is not what God wants for you. And oftentimes, even though they know it, they really have no interest in being corrected. Right? That part is like no fun being a pastor. But look, it's not just the job of a pastor. It's on all of us. We need to correct people who are off course, whether it's errors in thinking or sinful behaviors, transgressions. We need to help correct and restore them. Galatians 6:2 says this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual," that's all of us, right? "You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, this is pretty clear that whenever we have to correct something in someone, we need to do it lovingly. Right? We always need to give lots of grace. We need to be patient with people. But we need to call a spade, right? Like, we need to call sin, sin. And we need to lovingly call it out in people when we see it. But let's remember a few things about correcting people. Like, the goal isn't just to make them feel bad. The goal isn't for us to be right. The goal is to see them be restored back to a right relationship with Jesus. Now, it's also, I think, important to note here that this specific passage that talks about correcting someone, it's addressing believers who are off track. Right? Like, not going around calling out the non-Christians who don't live like Jesus. Well, guess what? That shouldn't be a surprise to us, right? Let's not expect those who don't believe in Jesus to live like Jesus would have them live. That's for us to do. Right? They don't have an expectation or an obligation to try to live by God's standards. They don't have his word. They don't have his spirit. It will be impossible for them. But we have it. And it's different for us. Right? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, and we're not going to look up the passage, but that God will judge the outsiders. Right, those outside of faith, he'll judge those who call them, you know, he'll judge those who are not believers. We judge those who are called believers or call themselves believers. When we see error and sin in a fellow believer, we call it out. We help correct them and work to restore them. Again, in a spirit of gentleness, bringing them back in line with God's heart. So as a community of faith, we can correct and restore one another. And let me just kind of side note this too. I hope that we have hearts that want to be corrected when we're out of line with what God wants for us. Right? Because that shows a sensitivity and a longing to follow him the way he wants us to. Right? It takes a lot of courage for someone to say something, to speak something that challenges us. And if we automatically resist that, if we don't take it to heart, especially when it's like clear as day that we're out of line, it just shows our resistance to God, not so much to them. So let's be sure we have the right spirit about us that longs to be in line with the heart of God. Okay? So the next thing, as a community of faith, we can support one another. We can support one another. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says this, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together." Now think about that. That covers the gamut there, doesn't it? When the people around you, people in our community are hurting, we hurt with them. Whether it's the death of a loved one or a loss of a job, bad news from the doctor, persecution for their faith. Right? If one member suffers, we should all feel it. Like, we all suffer. But similarly, when people around us get the promotion, are getting married, or have a child, see a miraculous healing, or come to know Jesus, or help someone come to know Jesus. We rejoice and we celebrate that with them. Right? If one member is honored, we should all feel it. We all rejoice. Right? So as a community of faith, we can support one another, kind of in good times and in bad. All right? So those areas, as a community of faith, we can encourage one another, strengthen one another, correct and restore one another, and support one another. That's what a community of faith-filled followers of Jesus can and should do for one another. That's what we want to be about. But it is never going to happen if we aren't willing to take relationships to a deep enough level. Right? If we aren't really committed to one another. And it won't happen if we aren't focused on the one thing that we all have in common. Like, look, relationships are great, but the focus here is on Jesus. Right? That's the thing that we share. That's what makes us a family. That's what makes us a community. Right? 1 Corinthians 12:7 that we said earlier. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Right? The very important distinction. You are the body of Christ. Right? Jesus is what we share in common. He's got to be the focus. So each week we've had kind of a statement to kind of challenge us that we've ended with. And here's the statement that we have for this week. I am committed to deepening relationships in our community of faith. I am committed to deepening relationships in our community of faith. Is that true for you and for me? Are we committed to that? Seeing our relationships go deeper. Being able to really support and encourage and correct and restore, strengthen one another. And by the way, when I say this, I don't mean community of faith or like the church as like the Big C church as a whole. I mean that we're definitely part of a larger body of Christ. Right? The Big C worldwide body of believers in Jesus, but that makes this pretty generic. Right? Specifically, it really fleshes out for us right here in our local church, right? Right here at Portico. And so this has to start or continue with all of us here and now. So can we say this is true? I am committed to deepening relationships in our community of faith. It's a question and a challenge that I want to ask you to take with you this week and think about that. Right? Like, this is great to be able to gather for worship. Worship is important. We're going to talk about that next week. Otis is going to talk about that next week. But this is a community of faith. We, collectively, we together are God's plan. So if the worship team wants to come up, we've got a few more songs that we're going to sing as we close. Go ahead, come on up, team. I don't know if you noticed, I didn't point it out before, I'm going to point it out now. But all of the songs that we have chosen, that I've chosen for this morning, they all have a we aspect to them, a we theme. Not every song, you know, not every song has like no mention of I or personal aspect, but there is a we aspect of all the lyrics. Or an us aspect. You know, you took all our shame, left it in the grave. We're forgiven. Right? We share that in common as followers of Jesus. We sing your name in the dark. We sing with all that we are. We'll see you break down every wall, for fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high with all creation. God, we praise you. We praise you. with 1,000 hallelujahs, we magnify your name. Praise to the Lord, to the Lamb, to the King of heaven. Praise for he rose, now he reigns. We will sing forever. Right? Like, even when we come here to worship God, it's not just a me thing or an I thing or a you thing. It's a we thing. Again, of course, the focus isn't on us. It's not on us as a community. The focus is on Jesus, but we worship him together. So it's in that spirit this morning I want to invite you to be singing as we close out our time with a few more songs. Let's pray, and then we'll close together. Father God, thank you for your sacrifice of Jesus for us, for each one of us, individually. But significantly this morning, God, we're a community. We're a people of faith that are gathered here to worship you. And we want to be mindful of that as well. God, I pray that we would be a community of people who strengthen each other, who encourage each other, who support each other, and who are willing to step in and correct and restore each other back to you, because we long to be a people who is passionately following you and pursuing you. And in these next few moments, God, we want to lift our voices together in worship, kind of united in that same spirit, knowing that, yes, we are a community of faith and we are focused on you. We are the body of Christ, of you. We want to worship in that same heart and with that same spirit. Help us to think about how we can take steps to strengthen our relationships, to deepen our relationships, that we can be more of what you intended for your body to be. In the name of Christ, we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.